Good morning.
Good morning.
We're kind of drifting in, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, how's it going?
Good.
You awake? Sunday?
Yes.
Ready to walk through a wall?
Yeah.
Sometimes I think it's great to hear stories about how all this started. Oh, and by the way, have you seen the latest in clairvoyant accessories? This is my, I'm wired. Very sophisticated. So Lewis, you guys all have heard of Lewis, right? Lewis Bostwick, who started the clairvoyant work. I think it's really important when you do anything like this to give recognition to the people it came from, you know, and Lewis put all this together. Amazing spirit. He died, passed over in about, I think it was 95, might have been 94, about 75. And so he grew up in the 20s and 30s. In Oakland, California. Been there? Yeah. I grew up in Oakland and Berkeley too, so I actually grew up just a few blocks from where Lewis started the clairvoyant training, and didn't know him yet in the body, but the energy was going on down the street. But there was a lot of energy going on then. That was during the Vietnam War. It was during, you know, crazy stuff was happening on the planet, and it was a great time for clairvoyance to erupt, you know, into a mainstream idea, because when Lewis started this, everything was very esoteric as far as spirituality ran. It was all under the table. And Lewis had been studying a lot of things all his life. And he came to the certain point where everybody was so serious, you know, and it was so intense. And I understand some of the reasons that they kept some of this stuff under the wraps, because people can misuse it. And it's important to have integrity when you're a powerful being, because, you know, some people don't. And so he learned all this stuff, and then he went, you know, I'm going to go start me a kindergarten. I'm going to take this, and I'm going to go teach people how to do this with joy and a childlike sense of fun and some clarity and some grace. And so he started to teach anybody who wanted to know. Anyway, where Lewis started, he was growing up in Oakland, where, as in many big cities, there was all these neighborhoods. Like, he would walk through the Mexican district, and he'd sit there and read all the pictures, and he'd smell the food, and he'd hear the music, and he'd recognize this vibration, right? And he was a very clairvoyant kid, and his mom didn't block him. She loved it. She encouraged it. So then he'd walk through the next neighborhood, oh, Chinese neighborhood. He'd look at all the Chinese family pictures, you know, what was going on. And he would go through each of these different ethnic neighborhoods, and they each had different music and different food smells and different family pictures. And he was fascinated by the colors and the frequencies and the energy in all these different places. And to him, he just thought it was the most fun place in the world to grow up, because there was such a huge variety of people. And it was just such, you know, oh, Oakland, yeah. Such a huge place to just kind of learn and grow and evolve. And I just can't even imagine what it was like in the 20s and 30s, right? Wow. But he learned to be really clairvoyant. He really developed that ability. His mom's friends would come over, and he used to get himself in trouble. He said one of the times they were having tea, this lady came over and she was really freaked out, and she was having tea with Lewis's mom, and he looks at her and goes, "When's the baby coming?" She wasn't married, and you know. So he kind of grew up with a lot of permission for clairvoyance, and he kind of messed with it for a long time, and he studied all kinds of things. And he was actually about 50 when he started the Clairvoyant Center, first of all in Berkeley, and started training people. And at first he'd have like 30, 40 people would come in, you know, all these crazy people. But they didn't charge him anything, because, you know, he just wanted everybody to have it. But then, you know, they get distracted and they go do this, and they hit a pain picture, you know, and they'd be gone. So they said, I guess I'm going to have to charge them money. He didn't need any at the time, because he ran a dry cleaners and a jewelry shop. Right? So he kind of made his money, and he was getting ready to retire, and he wanted to do his spiritual thing. So then he started charging them, and he found that when he charged them, they all keep coming. Funny thing about that, right? And then everybody would go into this building in Berkeley, and they just start laughing and have so much fun, and finally the cops are like, what are they doing in there? Must be some kind of drug den. So they started sending cops in to take the classes. You know, undercover cops, right? And the teachers are like, uh-huh. You know, okay, great, let them take the class. So they come in and take the class, and then they started liking it, you know, and then But they go in there, and a couple times Lewis came in, and he found a couple of them sneaking into the office, going through the files and stuff, you know, and looking around trying to figure out where the drugs were, because why would all these young people go in a building and come out laughing? They finally sent in the chief of police, you know, because all the other cops would come out. I don't know, I was having a good time in that. They're not doing anything illegal. You know, they're all learning how to ground. The cops are out there blowing roses, you know. It was hysterical. It was just this whole era. And that's kind of where this work comes from. Yeah, finally Lewis sat down and he said he busted the chief of police and said, I know who you are. Want to have lunch? And they went out and had lunch, and it was really great. So he's, you know, Lewis is a strong presence in the Dreamtime. And one of the things I love about Lewis is he always says to each of us, I'll start crying. It moves me so much. You have the answer. It's in you. You have it. I don't have it for you. I can show you a vibration. I can show you tools. You know, I can show you all these things, but it's in you. And you know how many spiritual teachers will take your power from you and how fast they'll take it? But the goal that Lewis set here is giving it back to you. Don't give me your power. Don't give anyone your power. Right? Get it back and use it and teach other people to do the same. And that's what Lewis is still holding the energy for. And that just moves me every day because I've met a lot of people who aren't doing that. And it breaks my heart because what this is so beautiful, and the opportunity of what we can do. I always usually start crying at least once. And, you know, it's okay because it's real, right? It's real. So it's, you know, it's an amazing thing to be able to get your power back and not give it to anyone ever. And that's what Lewis sets the energy for every day. And that is some pretty profound stuff. And you know, any of you who decide you want to go teach this, do it. And if any of you decide you want to come up here someday, do it. I'm happy to sit in the back row. I'll come up and tell some stories. I'll go do some energy work. But Laura and I aren't going to hog this thing up. You know, and go anywhere in the world, teach people, because there's people everywhere who are waking up and they want this so badly, and there's too many people out there taking their power. And you know, let me just push your buttons, and oh, your buttons are pushed, bummer, a lot of your buttons are pushed. I'll fix you. Right? I have your answers. Nobody has your answers. They're in you. And I think so many people are invalidated because they just don't know how to get them. Right? And they're stuck somewhere in the labyrinth. And they're trapped, and they just got so much of that goo all over them. And so they just kind of give up, and they think, maybe somebody else has it, because I don't. I'm so invalidated. I don't have it. I'm so invalidated. Maybe one of you has it, right? Who can I find? Who? Do you know how many people I've read who've said, well, I just need to go find someone who's going to tell me everything? And they go, no. You need to find yourself and use your crown chakra and then know everything. Because everything is available to you. Everything. It's just finding enough space within you to have it. So, let's start our lecture now. You can close your eyes.